This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
So let's talk some DC talk.
Yeah. So, did you read the newest of the Hanna-Barbera comics?
I did. I read all of them.
I read all of them. I think I read all of them.
There was four, right?
Four, right? Yeah.
Aquaman and Jabberjaw.
Right.
Flash and Speed Buggy.
Super Sons and Dino Mutt.
And Hong Kong Phooey and
Black Lightning.
Yep.
Yeah. So, out of the four, how would you rank them from least favorite to favorite?
Least favorite to favorite?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the one I was looking to the most is probably my least favorite of this four. But I still enjoyed it, but I liked the other ones more.
Okay. And so your least favorite was Black Lightning and Hong Kong Fu?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I agree. That was my least favorite of the four.
Then I would probably say Flash and Speed Buggy.
And Speed. Yeah, that's my three.
Yeah. And then two would probably be Aquaman and Jabberjaw.
And number Sons Dynamut.
Yep.
Yeah, that is how I would have ranked them. As what the hell is going on tonight?
I don't know. I think it just froze over.
Oh, goodness.
I still enjoyed them all, though.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy any of them. I think out of all of it, my least favorite was the Captain Caveman backup story in the Aquaman Jabberjaw.
That was your least favorite?
Yeah, I don't think I did not like that at all.
Oh, man. That made me want a Captain Caveman book.
Yeah, I don't know. That one to me was bad. But everything else was good.
That was like, yeah, you know, running around the house yelling, Captain Caveman!
So, okay, with the Black Lightning Hong Kong Phooey, did Black Lightning sort of seem like super lame in this book?
I don't know about that, but I think it was the making it feel like 70s when it didn't feel like 70s talk that kind of threw me out of it.
After you said, I don't know about that, I think it was, you went totally blank and then you cut out.
I don't think it was that. I think it was trying to be 70s and didn't feel like it, and it came up short with like the dialogue and stuff.
Okay. I mean, I agree with that. But for me, like this whole thing, he basically did nothing.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, like this was a very Big Trouble in Little China type of story, except he didn't ever Jack Burton it up.
Yeah.
I guess. He was like, or I guess when he did, when he was fighting, who was it? Bronze Tiger and Cheshire, right?
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, I guess you didn't even see the whole fight, really, because it was going on when Presto was fighting Hong Kong Phooey.
Okay.
So I guess it was only kind of cut in and out. So maybe we didn't see his cool stuff, or maybe there just wasn't cool stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't feel it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was still good. I still liked the concept and everything, but it was kind of, I don't know. It just seemed like it was out of place for some reason.
Yeah, I could see that.
But what about so your third one was what?
Flash Speed Buggy.
What would you say about that?
I mean, I liked how it was sort of an origin of Speed Buggy.
Yeah.
With, you know, how he came to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like, something about the story just kind of annoyed me. The whole Kilgore thing. And you know what really bothered me? When Kilgore said his name the first time.
Yeah.
And Flash was like, a percentage sign? How do you even pronounce that? And it's like, first of all, if he said his name is Kilgore, you're not going to hear that it's a percentage sign unless he says my name is Kilg percentage sign or.
Yeah.
And that, like, right there, I get that it's a comic book, and I get that it's, like, a crossover with Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
But it took me right out of the book. You know?
Yeah.
And from there, I was like, oh, well. But I don't know. It was interesting, you know, jumping through the Speed Force and stuff and everything with the Speed Buggy and the reverse Speed Buggy, everything. But I don't know. It was just kind of there for me. I thought that it was better than the Hong Kong Fui one just because there was more happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't think these two were too different in ranking for me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right. There was a lot more happening in this issue. And I'm not using that in like the 70s term, like it's happening, man. Groovy, daddy-o.
Yeah.
But like Black Lightning and Hong Kong Fui seemed like Karate Kid getting Mr. Miyagi from the janitor, you know, type of thing.
Yep.
I don't know.
It did help, however, have possibly my favorite panel in all of these four issues.
Which was?
In the epilogue part where Flash is going to race Speed Buggy and it shows the crowd and it's like all the old Hanna-Barbera people.
Yeah.
That it's got like Space Ghost is there and you got the Herculoids and like Birdman and all, like everybody's there.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle. I got a kick out of that.
Yeah. It's kind of like Wacky Race thing or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the triathlon, whatever that one like all-star mashup comic or cartoon was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun. But besides that, I was like, you know, I mean, it was enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't something that I would go crazy for.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Was there a backup in the Hong Kong Fui one?
I just remember the Captain Caveman one.
Oh, no. The one, I don't remember if it was this one or if it was a different one, but there was the one with the ghost reading the Constitution and talking about guns.
Okay.
I don't remember which one that was in. Might have been the Hong Kong Fui one.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that now. Now that you said that.
I take it back. That was my least favorite of all of the stories.
Well, I mean, at least they made, like, Captain Caveman make sense in modern times, kind of.
Right.
All right, yeah. So then Aquaman and Jabberjaw, which is, this is the one that you were looking forward to.
Yes. I liked it. I thought, first of all, the variant cover, I don't remember who did the variant cover. I don't know if it says it somewhere in the book, in the credits page. Let's see. Josh Middleton.
Okay.
It's the one with, basically, it's like Jabberjaw coming down and Aquaman's in the water with his head coming up. That cover's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
But I like the story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a typical shark infestation story.
Yeah.
You know, where people are swimming and there's sharks and they're like, why are there sharks? And then Aquaman goes. And of course, you know, Jabberjaw's there. And it turns out that they're in the, you know, through another dimension.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I thought it was funny how the other dimensions people were all like screwy, like Ocean. Who was it? Ocean Master.
Yeah.
Was like totally different.
Yeah.
And you know,
now when you read this, did you read it in Jabberjaw's voice?
Maybe.
AKA Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yeah. But I am glad that they managed to get the Neptunes in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I like this one. I was, like I said, or like you said, this is the one I was looking forward to the most.
Yep.
And I was totally in for it. So it was, this for me was just like good, stupid fun.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, a little can't ever get wrong with that.
Yeah.
So our number one pick then for both of us, because yeah, hell froze over apparently and all of our rankings are the same.
Yeah.
Is Dinomutt and Super Sons.
Yes.
So out of these four,
mm-hmm,
where, before you read these four, where was this one in the anticipation list?
Probably second.
Okay.
Because I like Tomasi as a writer, mm-hmm, and I like the Super Sun stuff that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that got me excited for this one.
Okay.
I do, however, enjoy myself some Dinomutt action.
Yeah.
So, so way more than like Speed Buggy. I was like, oh, cool. You know, I like Blue Falcon and Dinomutt.
Right. Yeah.
So this one, at first, this one had me a little nervous.
Okay.
When I was reading it, because it started off with, you know, like literally the whole origin story of Blue Falcon and Dinomutt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they grew up together and then he was going to have to put him down, and he decided to instead turn him into a cyborg, and the best cyborg in the DC universe. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay. Is it going to be one of these, like, you know, I mean, like, why are they giving us a whole origin story?
Right.
And then when it jumped to the funeral with Jonathan and Clark and Lois,
mm-hmm,
it's like, I do not get where they're going with this. You know, like explaining funerals to Jonathan, yeah, or I guess Wake.
Yeah.
But as it went on, I really enjoyed it. How, you know, Dinomutt basically was next to destroyed by Blue Falcon because, was it Red Vulture?
Yeah.
Took over his mind or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, as it built, this one I really liked. And I really liked the end, even though, we think Blue Falcon died as he got his mind back to save Dinomutt.
Mm-hmm.
Dinomutt ends up, I guess, digging him up and recreating him.
Right.
But yeah, no, I like this one a lot. I think every bit of it was great. You know, once I got past the initial, I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah. See, this one seemed more adult.
Yeah.
Themed. I mean, I'm not talking like R, rated R, or, you know,
right,
whatever, but it seems more adult themed than what I expected it to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I just thought it'd be kind of like what Super Sons has been, right?
Right.
Like a YA kind of title or whatever. As
yeah,
to where this one is pretty.
It's definitely the heaviest.
Yeah, the heaviest, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the other ones were very lighthearted.
Yes.
And this was like a whole lot of coping with, you know, death and old age,
yep,
and stuff like that. And you're just like, well,
and losing this is a your different best friend type thing.
Yeah. And it's weird because I saved this one for last to read.
Uh-huh.
That I read Aquaman first, and then I read the Flash one, and then I read whatever the other one was. The Black Lightning, Hong Kong Fooey.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you know, I'll save this one for last. And as I started I think that might have also been why at first I was kind of confused.
Yeah.
Because it really was like all the other ones are just like total dopey fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, here's a boy getting a dog because his, you know, and then his parents die. And now the dog is old and he's got to put the dog down. Just like, what the hell? Where's the funny?
Yeah, this one was a good old heart punch for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And is this the last Tomasi Super Sons book? Or is he's writing the new one that comes out,
yeah,
right?
He's writing the new one that comes out.
The Zoom or Ink book?
Yeah, correct. Okay. So
yeah, it's like this would have been a depressing way to end his run. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Batman swinging through the city.
Yep.
Like going to punch, I will punch through to get justice. Just like, what?
Yep. Yep, we just have Dino Mutt's paw digging up a grave.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you saw this little bit of news today about what Brian Michael Bendis is going to be bringing into Superman.
No.
So, when you think really terrible Superman movies, obviously Superman 4 comes to mind.
Man, okay, yeah.
He apparently will be bringing the Nuclear Man into the pages of Superman.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, that's terrible.
Dude, it has to be better than what the actual movie part's gonna was.
Look, I get
it. And we've said that Man of Steel has made us feel like Christopher Reeves' Superman anyway, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but why? He's going in Man of Steel. He's got like the most generic bad guy of I'm here. I have to fight things to prove I'm strong because I'm strong. And now I'm going to destroy things because I'm strong. And then he goes from that to the worst villain in Superman movies. Yeah, I'm going to bring in Nuclear Man and they're going to punch each other on the moon until Superman locks him in an elevator on the dark side of the moon so he can't power himself up anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, I think it's going to play out a lot better in comic form than it did in movie form.
I mean, look, there's no way it couldn't play out better in comic book form than it did in movie.
Well, I'm just saying. Come on. You're already making Superman into the Christopher Reeves feeling anyways. At least we've said that like 3 episodes now.
Yeah.
So why not finish it off? Now if I see Richard Pryor somewhere in there.
Oh my goodness. How amazing would that be? If one of the issues, there's a guy who's like siphoning off percents of dollars or percents of coin.
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, that would be so amazing. For every Bitcoin transaction. I'm going to take a percent of a percent and put it into this account.
Yeah, he could do that with any like made-up cryptocurrency.
That's fantastic. You know what? Now I kind of want that to happen.
Yeah, see? You're welcome, DC.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Brian Michael Bendis.
Maybe that'll be my follow-up movie to the Jason Todd film that I'm currently writing.
Maybe. See? Will Jason Todd like go back in time or...
No, go back. How's he going to go back in time when he's getting killed every like 4 seconds?
Well, you know, that could be like his when he's killed, you know.
Oh, like inside his mind when he's dying?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Interesting. You're trying to add a lot more depth to this movie than there should be.
See? You got to think about it.
Oh, my goodness.
So what else you read that came out last week?
I don't think I read anything else that came out last week.
Oh, my. You didn't read Justice League?
Did Justice League come out again?
We're on, what, 2, 3 now?
Wait, issue 2's out?
Yeah.
Ah, son of a... No, I did not read it. I didn't realize it came out.
Aaron Bell.
So is that...
Failed the city.
That's not a weekly book, is it? Is it coming out every other week?
I think it's coming out every other week, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why. I totally missed it. I guess I'll get it now. Yeah, no, I absolutely completely missed the fact that that came out. I just, for some reason, I assumed it was going to be monthly, and I didn't even look.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to think what else.
Any other news or anything? Anything else you read?
The Wildstorm I read. The new issue with that.
Did that come out last week? I didn't read Wildstorm.
Oh, my God. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
What exactly do you read? Because obviously the correct answer is nothing.
Yeah, I told you I didn't read anything. Well, that's a nice cover for Justice League.
Yeah, it's I'm liking it actually.
Yeah, I liked the first issue way more than I was expecting to.
Yeah.
Based solely on the fact that Justice League No Point was terrible. Mm-hmm. Like I don't understand what the point of it was still to this day, and no one's been able to explain it to me. Other than it's just random, a 4-issue story that has nothing to do with anything, and the follow-up comics haven't come out or are not coming out or something.
So the new Challengers number 2 came out again.
Okay.
I actually like this one better than I did the first issue.
Okay.
I did not like
the first issue.
Yeah, I didn't really like the first issue either. But this one, like halfway through and then especially the end has like a curveball.
Okay.
And with it only being like a week out, and obviously you haven't read it, so I don't want to spoil it or anything. But as soon as like that happened, I'm like, oh, all right, this pit has picked up a couple notches now.
Interesting. Yeah, like this, I don't remember. Nothing of the first issue really stood out for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
that kind of makes sense.
So it's just kind of there.
Yep. You know, one book that I really haven't gotten into that we haven't even mentioned.
Okay.
Has been The Brave and the Bold with Batman and Wonder Woman.
Okay. I have not been reading that one.
No, I know.
So I don't know.
But I'm saying it's like Brave and the Bold, but the first five issues, because issue five came out last week.
Okay.
Has all been Batman, Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I was really pumped because it's Brave and the Bold, and Brave and the Bold has good track record.
Yep.
And this time, it's like one of those books that sits there because I don't know if I'm sure I want to, if I'm in the mood to read it or not.
Oh, yeah. Did you read any of it?
Yeah, I've read them all five.
Oh, okay.
But like once I read it, I'm okay with it.
Mm.
But for me, I just wish that it would change characters at least after two issues, at least, you know.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a five issue arc.
Well, it has been, but.
Oh, you just want it to rotate more than it is.
Yeah, because like the last invention of Brave and the Bold, we had like Batman and somebody like every other issue every issue. And this one has just been him and Wonder Woman, like, for five issues. And you know how it is, like, for a four-issue arc, sometimes it's drug on too far, nonetheless a five, six-issue arc, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the art's great on it, and it's been okay, like I said, but, you know.
So, basically what you're saying is you wish that it was more of, like, an anthology type of book?
I wish that it was, like, in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
You know, like the first one was what? Batman and Green Lantern, I think, was the number one in that, where they're like in Vegas or whatever. That
you know what? Right. I don't... Yes. Sounds right. Yeah.
And then like the next one, or maybe even number two, was, you know, the follow up to that story. But then number three was like Batman and Supergirl or, you know, something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's. I really liked. I mean, I know it was one long storyline, but after Robin died in the New 52, the Batman and Robin comic became, you know, actually, I don't remember if it was right away, because there were a couple. It was like Batman and Two-Face was an issue and stuff like that. But then eventually it was when he was trying to bring him back and get him into a Lazarus pit.
Right. Yeah.
Every issue would be. You know, Batman and Swamp Thing, Batman and Aquaman, Batman and this part. As, you know, the story is progressing and where he is, everything is kind of with somebody else.
Right.
So I guess, you know, if it was more along those lines, you would be way more into it. You know, if it was like that, where it was one, you know, sort of continuing story where he needed different people for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And each issue is him with someone else just kind of continuing along the story. Would you like that better?
Yeah, that would be better. But and I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those.
It doesn't call out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right, right.
And it seems like this story has just drug on as to where, you know, like, with some of the Netflix shows that are like 12 or 13 episodes when they could have only been 10 and still got the same point across, or 8 even.
Yeah.
That's what this book feels like.
Okay. Makes sense.
It's done well, and it's just, you know, it's like, hurry up and get on with it, damn it, type thing.
Yeah. Huh.
And then last episode we talked about Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Yep.
We got five that come out this week.
Comes out this week, yeah. You know what I'm looking forward to that comes out this week?
What?
New issue of Silencer.
I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the artist is no longer on the book.
Uh-huh.
and the story was pretty kick-ass.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I'm kind of forgetting where it left off. I think it was she was in that warehouse.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like the safe zone.
Yep.
And then the guy showed up and tried to kill her. But not only did that happen, while that was happening, like the big boss decided, I'm just going to blow up everything and not take chances. So,
yeah,
craziness.
Well, yeah. And Talia set her up,
yeah.
Even though she said she didn't set her up.
Oh, of course.
To set her up again.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. It's one of those things.
Yeah, like this book, even if it wasn't like a DC comic.
Mm-hmm. You mean like DC proper?
Yeah. I mean, if you were to make this into a movie,
mm-hmm.
You can take out the whole, you know, Talia piece, and you can just have it be like a former hit woman,
yeah.
You know, was able to get out.
Yeah.
Man, this is a movie that I would 100% go and see.
Yep, I agree. But I think those little nuggets of the DC Batverse, like with Talia and stuff, and Gotham,
right.
Those little nuggets that they throw in there, I think sweeten the pot.
Oh, I agree.
Also.
I agree. But I think, you know, if they're all concerned about their movies or getting panned or whatever.
Right.
You know what? Kind of stealth put this thing out.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be whatever. It's just going to be a crazy ass, you know, hitman, you know, shoot 'em up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would 100% be behind that. And you can get the people who did the John Wick movies, have them direct it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they need to put out John Wick number 3 first, but, you know.
Aren't they working on that?
Yeah, they're working on that. It comes out next summer, I think.
That's awesome.
Yep, yep.
Maybe they should stop doing that and work on the Silencer movie.
Mm-hmm. But I think they have a Marvel movie to work on, too.
Nope.
I'm just saying. And the final...
Who did that?
What?
I didn't remember who.
Russo Brothers?
Is that the Russo Brothers?
Right? Or the Coen Brothers?
I don't
know. Now you're going to make me look it up, aren't you?
I'm going to look it up. It's not the Coen Brothers.
Okay.
I don't remember. I have no idea.
Let's see. Keanu Reeves, obviously. Duh. The writer, I guess, well, that's the first one. Oh, that was chapter 2. The first one says Derek Kolstad and Chad Stahelski. I don't know if that's the first one or not. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. It's David Leitch and Chad Stahelski. It's the two people that directed John Wick 1 and Chapter 2.
Okay.
That's not who I thought it was.
Get them to do... get them to give me Silencer movie.
Yep. Well, I'd be for it. The fourth issue to Prelude to the Wedding came out. And it was Red Hood and Anarchy.
Anarchy?
Yeah.
How was that one?
I liked it, actually.
Yeah, because I think this week is Harley Quinn versus the Joker.
Yep.
And I'm sort of confused by that.
What do you mean?
Hasn't it all been like a good guy and a bad guy? I guess Harley is now considered like a member of the Bat family?
See, like, she's been a good person in, like, Injustice, so I kind of get the storylines mixed up. I'm just saying, but I think it's because she's, like, Suicide Squad style-ish, and she went good, because remember, oh, maybe you don't, maybe you quit reading it before that, but, like she tried to get Ivy, talk Ivy out of controlling the world.
In Injustice?
No, in Batman.
Oh, that happened in... Oh, okay. Yeah, I stopped reading it then.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say that she's kind of the anti-hero-ish.
Mm.
And so I assume, since she's over the Joker, that this is like her retribution for him me-tooing all those years to her. That's what I'm guessing. But then, and then, of course, we have... I think it's next week. I don't think it's this week that Batman 50 comes out.
Not this week.
Yeah.
I think this week's a Detective Comics week.
Yeah. And then, you know, with Batman 50, we have 100,000 variant covers.
Yep. I am getting... I placed an order, and I am getting 0 of them.
Well, I knew you and Dennis had talked about a couple.
Yeah. Some of the art on a few of them is really good.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple I like.
Yeah.
But None of them are like, oh, I need to have that cover kind of covers. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get it. I was just curious.
Yeah, if it was a comic that I was actually looking forward to reading, I'd probably pick up a couple of them.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, so you're totally out of the bat loop.
Yes.
You know that there's going to be a wedding.
There's going to be a wedding?
Or that's the storyline.
Yeah, it's Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
We missed our chance to talk about that on the other podcast. So here's my question to you. Do you think it's going to happen?
No.
No?
It's all going to be a dream.
So you're going to make me bust out Biggie Smalls again?
No, to be honest, I don't know. Do I see it happening? No. But at the same time, it could just as easily happen and be awful.
Well, okay. Either way, right? Answer A or B, there's still stories that branch out of that.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, if I still don't understand, and I mean, obviously this is how they get out of actually going through with anything concrete, is that it's Batman and Catwoman, not Bruce and Selina. But it's still, I don't care. You know, if the whole thing was to try and get me interested, I mean, not me personally, but like readers interested, it's failed miserably with me. And like, I'm all in on Batman. Like, I haven't read Batman in at least 17 issues now.
Yep. Well, I was just curious. And there's another Batman title that came out last week that you didn't read either.
Which? Batwoman?
Nope.
Or Batman Beyond?
Nope. Batman Dark Prince Charming?
Oh, you know what? I never read the first one.
What the? Yeah. You need to read. There's only two issues, so.
Yeah. Are they comic length issues or were they longer?
They're longer. Was that like,
it's the trade, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's trade pages-wise, but they came out in soft and hard covers.
Okay. Yeah, I remember when the first one came out, a lot of people were like going crazy for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's really good. It was really good.
I didn't pick up the second one. I'll throw it on my list of stuff to grab this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'll make a note. I'll read those two, and we'll talk about it next week.
Gary? Don't touch that post-it note.
Dark Prince Charming.
Do you have to spell it out, too?
Yep, and I put a little paw print so it looks like Gary wrote it for me.
There you go.
Speaking of weird DC books.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of Gary.
Have you read either of the Mad Magazine issues they put out?
I have. I went through the second issue. I don't know why. Well, I didn't do the first, but.
Well, speaking of Batman, did you see the, what's his name? The guy who does Gru, Sergio Aragonés.
Yeah.
You see his little Batman comic?
I did not. I didn't get all the way through it, so.
Okay. It's a one-page Batman comic where you got police officers go into Commissioner Gordon's office.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like in a panic, basically like, you know, shouting and pointing towards the door. And then you see Commissioner Gordon running up the stairs, thinking of Batman. Mm-hmm. And he goes up and he flips on the bat signal.
Oh, I did see that.
And then all the angry bats show up and chase him off the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I did see that one.
That is the best Batman story that I've read. In a couple weeks.
So bad. It's so wrong.
Since I read the last issue of Detective Comics.
Oh my god. So, have you gotten both Mad magazines?
Yeah.
So you're enjoying it?
Listen, this is the thing.
Because, I mean, Mad's not really DC, but, you know.
Well, I mean, they own it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do they own it?
Yeah, they're the ones publishing it.
Well, that's weird because they can have Marvel characters in there too.
I guess.
Okay.
I think it all falls in the whatever it is, fair use or
free domain. It can't be in the free domain.
No, not free domain. But I think it's because it's parody.
Oh, okay.
You know, which is how they get away with. In the newest issue, there was a whole thing making fun of like tons of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and like a lot of it was Pixar stuff and whatever. So. like Disney definitely doesn't own this, so I think, you know.
And the 12 types of urinals.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I remember reading Mad as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I guess, Cracked magazine also, that it was fantastic when they were both coming out.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd have something to read and like, and it was weird. I don't remember. I don't know how it worked out, but it seemed like anytime we were on summer vacation, we would get to wherever we were and like stop at a gas station or a, you know, convenience store or something. And they'd always have a magazine rack and there would always be new issues that I hadn't read, which would be like my summer vacation reading.
Yeah.
I'd be able to pick up, you know, a couple of those things. But yeah, like I didn't even realize that it was back. And I guess a month ago when the first one came out, I was like, well, Mad Magazine, I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I will have to get this. And yeah, so I picked up the second one because, you know, you just kind of have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Did you see the one with the guy in the S&M suit and Superman has him and he says, it's hard to explain, but you're going to have to trust me. I'm not a supervillain. Did you see that one?
I don't remember.
It's like in the
back. Was that in the second?
Yeah, it's in the second one. It's like towards the back. But yeah.
I don't remember if I got there.
It was like, oh my God. Because, you know, as an adult, you would like think about like...
Oh, like the... Oh yeah, I see it now. Yeah. The guy in the full leather, leather costume.
Yeah, the S&M costume.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like as an adult, you're like, what would happen if like the comedian or Rorschach bust through the window and you saw somebody like that? Like, would you automatically assume that they're criminals?
I mean, in this back when Watchmen takes place, probably.
Yeah, probably. Or Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend that doesn't exist. I still haven't been able to finish issue 5. And I know a couple people were telling me that issue 5 was the best it's been. I'm totally tapped out on that book. I just can't get into it.
Now, is it because the delays?
The delays are part of it, but also the lame Rorschach reveal didn't help.
It's kind of like the lame Cosmic Ghost Rider reveal. But I feel you. Go ahead.
Or the lame, you know, who this guy is.
Who's actual
Superman.
Yeah, who's actual Clark
and it's
Kent.
His dad, and you're just like, come on. Oh, yeah, and the Clark Kent. Yeah, like they've done a really poor job at they've done a great job building up all this stuff and just really, really dropped the ball on a lot of these reveals.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, after that, I don't know, like the second issue was the one with the marionette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. After that one, it's just gone downhill for me that I don't care about this Rorschach that much anymore. And I don't, you know. It, like the fifth issue, I can't even put my finger on what it is that I don't like, but I'm just, I start reading it. I get like 2 pages in and I'm just like, my eyes just glaze over.
So you're checking out before you're even into it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Which is fine. I was just curious. Like, I'm okay with it, but like before it started, like I was really, really, really looking forward to it. Right.
Yeah.
And then the delays and setbacks and, you know, it seems like Metal got pushed higher than Clock did. So then it was like, it kind of took the wind out of my sails and each issue is okay. But then it's like, man, I got to go read 4 so I can remember what happened in 4 to read 5. So now it's like, I'm to the point where should I just get them all and then, you know, just trade read it when it's all out?
Yeah.
Because nothing that's happened into it is like spilling into the DC proper right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like they kept saying, oh, this is going to have huge repercussions and this. And you're just like, you know what? We're almost halfway in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been next to no hint as to how this affects anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, like you said, I think that's also part of what's kind of taken me out of it. That, I mean, I think I'm going to wait until 6 is out and try and piggyback 5 and 6.
Okay.
and see if that does anything for me.
See if you can plow through that.
But then after that, honestly, I might just trade weight the end.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times stories like this do read better in chunks.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially events.
Yeah. I mean, especially events that are delayed.
Yes. Like, for example, I don't remember if it was delayed or not because it's been like over 10 years ago, but Final Crisis.
Right.
Well, of course, it was Morrison, so there's that. But I didn't enjoy it when it came out monthly, you know? But then once I read it all together, then I enjoyed it a lot more.
Yeah.
But it was Morrison, so I only enjoyed it a little bit more.
See, for me, because I wasn't reading, like, tons of comics at the time it came out, I read it as one long story.
Oh, gotcha. So,
yeah.
So you didn't have that experience, that Doomsday Clock experience.
Yeah, I mean, when that came out, it was like 2008 or so.
Yeah, I was going to say 2008, 2009, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, I'd say it came out probably right before I got back like really heavy into comics.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I can just sit and read this book.
Yeah, it was okay. Around the same time that the Batman RIP arc was happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, I think, how many is this? Only like six, seven issues?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, do you think as a whole you enjoy reading events more in one sitting? Or do you like, you know, the slow build?
It depends. Man, that's like a two-headed coin there.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I do like the slow build, but it has to be in my sweet spot, though, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's a couple of events that was like, oh, man, this is awesome. It's anticipation, you know, just like the anticipation was just like when we were little and, you know, not the world wasn't at our fingertips type thing.
Right.
But then there's other times where it doesn't have delays and I'm just like, I check out of it and then I go back and I read them all together and I'm like, why did I check out of this? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way that there's some, the last one, and I don't even know if you'd really consider an event, but the last one that I really kept up with as it was coming out was probably the Batman Eternal, the first weekly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, went for the full year.
Yeah.
And each week I remember being super excited.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, we're going to get more of this. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But then, like, the Batman and Robin Eternal that came out after it, it was like, you know what? I'm not as excited, so I'm going to wait. And, like, every month or every, you know, 6 weeks or so, I'd sit down and I would read, you know, 4, 5, 6 issues.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so, and it's funny, as much as I love Injustice, there are times because it is such a quick read when it comes out that there are times if, I mean, right now the story is insane. So I'm absolutely as soon as it's out, I'm reading it.
Yeah.
But you know, when it kind of falls back into more setup than action, I might sit and wait, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then spend, you know, 15 minutes reading, you know, 3 or 4 issues instead of like 4 minutes to plow through one.
Yeah. See, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Batman Eternal, because the two before that, you had 52.
Yeah.
And, dude, I was, like, salivating every week as soon as I put that week's down, you know? I was like, holy hell, what did I just read? I can't wait till next Wednesday. And then after that was Countdown.
Right.
And it was the same way. I enjoyed it. It wasn't as great as 52, but it's still great. But then, like, with Batman Eternal, I would read it, and then, like, I would let, like, 4 or 5 build up, and then I would catch up. And then I would let 4 or 5 build up, and then I would catch up. So, I don't know. I haven't read it, like, all in one sitting, which I need to go back and redo. But, you know, because, like, 52 and Countdown, I've read countless rereads. But
right.
Batman Eternal and Batman Robin Eternal, I haven't reread since they came out.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Batman Eternal, I really enjoyed. Batman and Robin Eternal when it was finished, like looking back on it, I liked it. But then what was the next one? Future's End, I think, was the next one.
You mean weekly?
Yeah.
Was Future's End weekly?
Yeah, wasn't it? I thought it was like 48 issues weekly.
Okay.
Parts of it I loved, and parts of it I'm just like, oh, hell no, I do not care.
Yeah.
So, like that one, I almost completely checked out, and it was, I was totally reading it in chunks.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, but like a couple of the storylines, I was just like, I don't care. And it's funny, like, since that came out, there's been so many different things that have done, like, Brother Eye type of stories. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I get it, you know, technology and blah, 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 but like, come on. And I think that series, like, kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
In like, a weird way.
Yeah, I could see that. I can really see that. Especially with it being like, it's a done and done and done. It's kind of like what you and Chris and what you and I have talked about is like a villain where you use him too much or use them too much. It needs to be put on the shelf. And I think Brother Eye fits that category.
Yeah, I mean, like, conceptually, I really like it. And it makes sense. And, like, you can see real life, you know, repercussions in it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, all right, like, you just gave me this story with this. Mm-hmm. And then it's here. And it's in, like, Injustice now.
Yeah.
For a bit. And then, you know, it's just like, all right, I get it. Computers are going to take over everything. They're going to destroy everything. Like, you know, maybe use this as like, put this one on the back burner for a little bit and don't give me Brother Eye every week.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be good not having Brother Eye for a year or two.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do I know?
Very little.
Speaking of checking out, are you ready to check out?
No.
Okay.
Front desk has a sign that says, I can stay until 10.
Well, what else do you have?
I got nothing. I mean, like I said, I didn't have a lot of time to read this week.
Yeah.
But and of course, instead of reading all the good books, I read all the Hanna-Barbera stuff from a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
It's like, oh, we haven't talked about these yet. Let me read them fast. And I'm like, oh, I'm too tired to read any of the real books.
You're too tired to be a real boy.
Yeah.
That's because you're a monster.
I am a monster. Well, I guess if you got nothing else and I've got nothing else, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with me on Twitter, you can at Aaron S. Bell.
And I'm at Rombar316.
And the show is at DC _Absolute.
Yeah.
Okay. At some point, we'll come up with a way to end the show.
Yeah, we will. Somehow.
Nah.
Nah.
We can get better this way.
Yep.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.